Welcome back to Clarity Quote to Cash podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and best practices with leading industry experts. I am Sergey Ermakov, your host for this episode. And today my guest is Bill Butler, a global solution owner for Configure Price Quote solution in SAP. And with many years of experience in the software industry, Bill is the seasoned expert in CPQ systems and helping organizations across industries and geographies to improve their sales processes and customer experience. Bill is an old friend, and I'm super happy to have you on the show, Bill. Thanks for joining us, and I will let you introduce yourself.
Well, hi, Sergey. Thanks for having me. Again, my name is Bill Butler. I'm with SAP. I've been in the CPQ space about 15 years. I started out as the VP of Worldwide Sales at FPX, which is now Revelize. And from there, I went to Chameleon Software. I ran their North American sales, and Chameleon was later acquired by Prose. I was then VP of Sales and GM of the CPQ product at Callidus Cloud, which was later acquired by SAP. There seems to be a trend here. And after I left Callidus Cloud just prior to the acquisition by SAP, and was CEO of Optima, which is a system integrator in the CPQ space, working mostly with Aptus CPQ. From there, I went to CDS Visual, who does 3D visualizations and dimension drawings for CPQ systems. I was chief revenue officer there. And that company got acquired by Dover Corporation, a Fortune 500 industrial manufacturer. And then I got the privilege to rejoin a lot of my friends and colleagues from my Callidus Cloud days at SAP. So I started in July as the global solution owner for CPQ at SAP. So I'm kind of the strategy person between the sales organization that's doing a tremendous job and our amazing engineering team and trying to figure out strategies and directions and market goals and objectives for CPQ. So that's my quick summary of 15 years of love in the CPQ space.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I think that you are finally in the company who has a low probability to get acquired by someone.
Yeah, just don't say that, Sergey. But, you know, the good news is, you know, these companies, these CPQ companies, as everybody knows, there's been a lot of consolidation in the space. And, you know, these companies quite often brought me in to help kind of boost their sales so they could be acquired. So it's a good problem when you get acquired, right? Because it means you're successful and somebody wants to invest in the space.
Exactly. Okay, so I'll be then moving to the topic for today. And so we've been thinking on what would we discuss around the CPQ that would be interesting and exciting. It's not the regular thing. Mm-hmm. And we ended up finding the following title, the How to Navigate Configure Price Quote Systems in the Face of Evolving Customer Requirements. And we want to explore how companies are adapting themselves to changing requirements with the several focus areas that we see a trend that is today affecting a lot of businesses around the globe. And I really looking forward to share some insights with you that you could find very useful, and maybe it will help you to shape up your strategy in this space. So the first thing that we wanted to touch is discuss and is the company strategies that are changing, because this, in most cases that we see around the market, especially in the high tech and manufacturing space, the companies are moving to subscription based models that are, first of all, becoming extremely popular due to the customer demand. And as the result, a lot of the companies are turning CPQ system to manage their subscription-based products and services. And I think that we see that more and more subscription product-focused functionality in the CPQ systems these days. And CPQ really enables, I think, to create and manage subscription plans, configure your pricing and quotes in a way that you get your one-time product, your physical product, and your digital product, or your subscription in a single quote, and basically giving you also the ability getting the single invoice for that later in the process. So, Bill, how do you see this trend affecting the CPQ landscape What could you share from what you see around the
I think for companies that are implementing CPQ or looking at it or thinking about it, there's a few things on this topic that are really, really important. You know, inside SAP, CPQ is part of our quote to cash portfolio, which includes our subscription management software. So we're seeing that even in how we're organized internally. But as you mentioned, your example, you know, companies want to add the ability of quoting their products or selling their products in different ways of being monetized. So, you know, the example we use all the time are photocopiers, right? So 10, 15 years ago, if you're a business and you needed photocopiers for your office, you'd buy them and then you'd pay somebody to come in and service them. And now you can buy photocopies as a service. You can pay by the page. Somebody else brings in the equipment, somebody else does the maintenance, somebody else even puts in the toner and paper for you. And Sergey, you know, I've seen this in the industrial space for a long time. Now we're seeing it in software, and that's the difference between a CapEx-oriented company and OpEx-oriented company. So a lot of companies in the older days, you know, 10, 20 years ago, they wanted to keep their operating costs as low as possible. So they'd buy the photocopier, they'd invest their capital in that photocopier and keep the cost per page down. But now, particularly in high tech and the economy has changed, and companies want to minimize the spend of their capital on non-productive items. You know, photocopier isn't going to help a company expand or grow. And so they want to shift to more of an operating expense model where they kind of pay as they go for their costs. So a lot of companies are saying, well, how do I sell, instead of selling a tractor, how do I sell, you know, plowing your field as a service? Now, companies want to do that and they don't know how, and they certainly haven't got the systems in place for their salespeople to do that. And to make it more complicated, you got to still support the old model, right? Because it's not a transition overnight. So what you have to do is have multiple ways you can quote the same products. One might be a subscription, one might be you know, a capital expenditure or a more traditional way. And so where CPQ comes in is it enables companies to empower their salespeople to walk them through that process of quoting different ways, and or perhaps both ways in some circumstances. You know, I've been in sales my whole career, and you get into habits, you get to use a certain tool and you know how to do something. And then somebody says, okay, well, you're not going to quote, you know, photocopiers anymore. You're going to quote subscriptions to this. There's all kinds of questions and things you may not understand or know the intricacies of that. And CPQ helps walk a salesperson through that process to make sure they're quoting the thing that their customer really wants and that they're doing it correctly and at the right price. So I think, and I think what we're aiming for on any quote is to be able to do a standard product, like a catalog product, a configured product, a subscription, services like professional services, and per use like Internet of Things type charges. I may have even forgotten one in there, but the idea with CPQ is it's a hub of all the information, all the ways you can sell all your products, so that sales can mix and match the products and the way it's being sold and get the right quote out to the right customer. Because ultimately, you know, we're in the business of helping companies grow their revenue, and those are the tools to do that. So I think there's a lot going on in the space. And again, I think the key takeaway is as you add new monetization models, you have to keep supporting most of the time the old ones. So all of a sudden you can't just use that old spreadsheet you're used to using to quote stuff. You've got too many moving parts, that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because you will always find, you know, the people who would want to stay on the old model and still go for CapEx and buy the copier.
Yep.
And maybe this is your, you know, again, from the different perspective, this is your chance to sell them some consumables that should be for this and copier. And this is another subscription product that you still need to sell, right?
Yep. And I remembered the other item, and that's e-commerce, right? So that's the other channel that B2B companies have to support is, you know, spare parts, consumables, things that their customers want to just buy online at 2 a.m. So that all has to fit in with all the other types of products as well. So
Yeah, yes, exactly. So, and talking about e-commerce, so we see a lot of currently customers. So I think that we clearly see the trend of the consumerization of the B2B space, because everybody is used to buy things on Amazon and get the experience that they get there, and they expect the same from the B2B companies. And especially like if we are going into the complexity that B2B products bring, especially with the complex configurations. And sometimes it might be challenging for many businesses. So how do you see like the combination of e-commerce and CPQ is like how the business is currently leveraging the CPQ and configuration capabilities within the commerce systems?
Yeah, so like we have with our subscription products, obviously SAP being a big company has all these pieces. So we have a tremendously successful Commerce Cloud e-commerce product as well. But what I've noticed in the market over the last 15 years is e-commerce as a tool isn't really set up to understand what a configured product is. You know, you've got a SKU, you've got a part, and you've got a picture of it, and you've got a price. But this idea of it might be one item with 100,000 different combinations is kind of a foreign concept in general to most e-commerce platforms. So where CPQ can come in is someone in an e-commerce experience can configure a product through the CPQ tool, right? So we punch through the e-commerce and into a CPQ experience, and someone can configure a product, perhaps see a 3D rendering of it and configure it, but in the end, put it back in the cart and buy it. Now we have partners that are providing spare part solutions so that you can go in and know based on the serial number, the part number of your product, probably the serial number, that you're buying the right part, and all those other things. So the other piece of it, which is probably more in use today, is, Sergey, our customers that saying, look, I'm a B2B manufacturer. I'm mostly using my CPQ to quote my customers, but gosh, I've got these small orders that come in for spare parts, consumables, little bits and pieces, and it costs me more to quote the thing and write up the order and transact it than I don't want to lose money on these small deals, and I want my customers to be happy. So adding an e-commerce portal to their B2B environment lets them do that. And where we can come in and help a lot is not only support those configured products, but on the standard products, you know, CPQ can take care of customer-specific pricing. So a B2B company may say to their great customer, hey, we're going to give you 25% off on these parts and 15% off on these consumables. And because CPQ is driving the price into that, we can honor those customer-specific prices, even though it's through an e-commerce experience. So there's a couple of great areas where, and you're right, you know, after you go home and buy stuff on Amazon, they go to work in the morning and try and buy something, and it's, you're like, why does it have to be this hard? It's complicated though, and that's where CPQ can be that hub of all the information and manage all the complexity and then push it out into all the different channels.
Yes, exactly. And especially, you know, if you're like ordering consumables online and, for example, you have like a certain period when you are ordering them, then you could just trigger the subscription and get them on the regular basis without even having to reorder. And this is like a combination of these two things that we have discussed already, which is like extremely, I think it's extremely exciting future we have in B2B.
And, you know, I don't want to freak people out, right? Like not every business needs to do all of these things, but it's important to know that their CPQ tool can support whatever combination of these capabilities that they want and need for their business, right? For how they want to compete in the market. And, you know, I like to say we give our customers an unfair competitive advantage, right? So some companies might say, look, I'm selling a commodity. I'm selling a bearing or a switch or something that other people have. I can't be a lot less expensive on the price. I'm no differentiated on the product. What I got to do is service the heck out of my client, make it easier to do business with. And that's where CPQ can be a differentiator.
Yes, and then in combination with the pricing solution and the e-commerce solution, I think that having capability, you know, of capturing the market prices from the competitors, adjusting your prices in the real time, and providing this customer specific experience, and also the pricing, I think that this is like the key for winning the customers on the market today. And this is right. All about like implementing the right piece of technology at the right time.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Going back into technology, let's go back into the back end. We see like a lot of B2B businesses, manufacturing companies, they are moving from on-prem to cloud. And I think that this is like the long journey, and we still will see a lot of migrations ahead, like next 10 years probably. We see like clearly that we need to connect the CPQ to the front office applications like CRM and commerce that we discussed. But being the kind of, you know, the link between the front office and the back office. So how do you see like the importance of the CPQ system in this like trend of migrating from on-prem to cloud, and how CPQ is supporting that process for the customers?
Yeah, as you can imagine, SAP is known, you know, our flagship product is ERP systems, and our S/4HANA public cloud product is, you know, ERP in the cloud. And customers, like every other part of their software infrastructure, are trying to migrate from on-prem ERP systems to cloud ERP systems. And CPQ actually can play quite a helpful role in that process, right? So first of all, SAP CPQ has been built since day one over 20 years ago as a multi-tenant SaaS product. So we've always been in the cloud. And we also have integrations back to the on-prem SAP ERP system, so it is possible to integrate back with those. The other thing that's interesting about CPQ is we can integrate with multiple ERP systems. So this is where you really get an advantage, particularly for large companies that might have multiple ERP systems or are transitioning from on-prem to cloud. What happens, Sergey, quite often is they dip their toes in the water first, right? They take a division or a business unit or a factory, and they say, okay, we're going to go cloud ERP with those guys over there, right? We're not going to mess with the mothership just yet. We're going to make that transition. Well, you've got to make sure your sales systems, your CPQ system, lets your salespeople sell those products as well as the products from the other factory on the on-prem ERP system. And if you had to do both at the same time, if you had to redo your ERP system and your sales CPQ system at the same time, quite often it's just too big of a mountain to climb. So where CPQ can really help is we can work with multiple instances of the same ERP. We can work with a cloud and an on-prem. We could even work with a third-party ERP that maybe was part of an acquisition when a division was purchased or sold. So, a CEO doesn't want the ERP system interrupting what they can sell to whom. Right. And so where CPQ can really kind of grease the skids in that transition is being that rubber gasket, right, between the front office and the back office, and making sure that a company can move a division or the whole company across and still let their salespeople have access to all the products and all the pricing and all those good things we talked about before. So I feel like if a company comes to SAP and says, you know, we have three divisions or four divisions, and we're just going to try S/4HANA public cloud in this one division, and they're using CPQ, we're like, problem? No problem. We gotcha, right? And that can really make it easier for that transition. And a lot of our on-prem customers use our variant configuration back-end manufacturing configurator, and the fact that we can support that as well. And we have a path to from an on-prem version of that to a cloud version called advanced variant configuration. So even for those customers that invested 10, 20 years ago in a manufacturing configurator, can still expose that through CPQ out to the sales and marketing teams as well. So it just makes life a lot easier and gives companies a lot more options about that. What is that transformation going to look like, and how are they going to do it in a way that is effective for their particular circumstances.
Yes, I think like for me, the whole beauty of CPQ is really giving the capability of, I mean, giving complexity of the backend configuration to manufacturing configuration to the salespeople, right? Well, yep. I know multiple times I've had discussions with the customers, especially in the equipment manufacturing space where they have a complex configurable products. It takes them like a week to get the quote to the customer. And I think that is, today it is just completely unaffordable because, again, coming back to this consumerization, you would expect to get your quote almost immediately, maybe yep. within a day time, right? Not within a week.
Yeah, I would just add to that, right? So what we're even learning inside of SAP is that I think of it this way. There's two kinds of configuration. There's manufacturing configuration, like our variant configuration, where you're thinking about how to route material in the factory and which machines it's going to be on and driving all that wonderful back-end stuff. But there's a whole nother layer on top of it when you're a salesperson, right? You've got to give this person a bit of a discount and you've got to bundle a few things together. And you're not just selling a configured product, you're selling a standard product or it's going through a channel. So there's this whole layer, like customer-specific pricing, right? That's just logical to be in CPQ. And so I think of it, and this is an evolving kind of position within SAP, is, you know, CPQ is a tool to help salespeople and channel partners and channels sell products, and our back-end configurators are to help those products be manufactured and to understand what can go together and what can be built, you know, in what order it goes together and what machines it goes on and all that stuff. So you know, the sales operations tends to run CPQ and manufacturing of the back-end team operations tends to run the back-end configurators. And again, every option is possible with us because we can do it either way.
Yeah, I think that this is like great value. To the customers, and I mean, it's just, you know, so easy to get it done. So I'm just like super excited when I see these success cases. Another thing that we just discussed already, but I want maybe to explore it a little bit more in details, is like the pricing consistency across the channels.
Yeah.
Because like we already like discussed e-commerce and so direct sales, channel sales, distributors, resellers. So how to achieve this pricing consistency across the channels, and how do you see like the CPQ is bringing the benefit here?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've got kind of a story about that. So back in my Callidus Cloud days, we had a customer that made exercise equipment for gyms. And the CEO is curious because they sold through dealers. They had a web store you could buy directly. They had three or four different channels for their exercise equipment. Now, these are big, expensive machines. They're not mm-hmm. random priced, right? Like, they're pretty obvious. So CEO is curious, and this took an afternoon and pretended to be a customer. They went out to their own website, and they looked up a particular product, and they looked at the price, and they wrote it down. So then they pretended to be a customer and called one of his own salespeople to get a quote. And guess what? He got a quote. Wasn't the same. Then he called a dealer, or I think went on to a dealer website or something like that, pretended to be a customer, and you guessed it, got a different price. And that just drove him nuts. And the reality is that if you have a web store and you have a dealer network, and you have a sales system that all have independent pricing systems, it's virtually impossible to keep them aligned. Now, why is this a problem, right? So human psychology is very interesting, right? So there's this concept of fear of loss, right? And so all the sociology people tell me that, or what I've read, is that the fear of loss is three times stronger in emotion than the satisfaction you get from winning something, right? So human brains are risk averse. Now, if you're trying to buy a $5,000 piece of exercise equipment and you start getting a sense that there may be different prices out there, what's the first thing you're going to do? You don't want to pay more than you need to. So now all of a sudden it becomes an exercise of where are all the places they sell this particular machine and getting a price and hunting for the best price, right? What's that doing? That's slowing down the sales cycle, right? And you may have a dissatisfied customer because they could have bought it from a dealer for $100 less or something. And so what's really, really important when you're in multiple channels is to make sure the customer gets a consistent price, right? Apple is like genius at this. I don't know how the heck they do it, but no matter where you go to buy some AirPods Pro or whatever, at the airport, at an Apple store, online, wherever you go, it's the same price. So what do? You say, dang, those are expensive, but they're good and they're all the same price. So I'm here now. I'm at the airport. I'm getting on a plane. I'll just buy them here. Right? You don't say, well, I'm going to go home and search the web for a dealer that might have them less expensively. So how does that come back to CPQ, right? So configure, price, quote. So we have customers that don't have configured products, right? They have complexity either in configuration or pricing or quoting or some combination. So some of our customers use CPQ to just be the system of record for pricing across all their channels. So whether you call a dealer, whether you call a sales rep and ask for a quote, whether you go on the e-commerce site or the website, how do you always get the same price? Because it always came from the same system, and that system is CPQ. And so what does that do? It increases customer satisfaction. They're not ticked off they didn't get the best price, or they're worried that they did. They might have got the best price, but they don't know because they don't know what they don't know, right? Time to revenue is faster because people give up. They check two or three places and they're like, oh, it's all the same. So they extrapolate that. And in their brains, they're like, I'm all good. So they buy faster and they're happier as a customer when they've got a similar price. And that extends, Sergey, to what we were talking about earlier, which is customer-specific pricing, right? So in a B2B world, if you've said to your best customer, I'm going to give you 20% off on these consumables, then you dang well want to make sure that they get that discount if they call a dealer, if they go on the website, if they call a salesperson, and they always get it. Now, of course, to be fair, they would have to identify themselves on those systems, right? So, you know, a random web hit, they wouldn't necessarily know that customer is entitled to customer-specific pricing, but you can set up your commerce systems to have a login or whatever to do that. So, yeah. So it's really, really important to have the CPQ as that hub.
Yes, I think that the most important is really make sure that you're closing deal in the channel where customer is now. Yep. As fast as you can. So because like, yep, you know, in my experience also, I've seen in the software sales the cases when the customer has been like calling around different offices of the company and trying to identify whether they would get higher discount, like for example in Malaysia, right? And it happens always. I mean, and you should be ready to that, like to address it.
Yeah, that's, you know, a million years ago, I lived in South Korea, and it was pretty common to have gray markets for things, right? Where you could buy certain products in North America, but you could also buy them in a secondary market and get a lower price. So absolutely, that applies. We didn't even talk about that in channels, but geographies, it's the same thing, right? CPQ can manage the price in different countries as well as different channels as well. So, you know, and one of the reasons you and I work well together is this stuff is complicated and every customer has a different set of circumstances that are important to them. And that's what Clarity does with SAP CPQ is understand what matters to that particular customer and how to apply these tools in a way that makes sense for that situation. And so we sell software that can do all kinds of things, but what Clarity is doing is setting it up to do the specific things that customer needs for their particular business situation. And I can tell you, you know, I get asked a lot, I'm sorry, I'm going off the topic a little bit of omnichannel, but I get asked all the time, like, do you have other references in our industry, in our market, right? Because customers want to do business with software vendors that understand their market. And we do, and we share those. But the funny thing is, I've never seen two companies in the same, you know, direct competitors. I've never seen two direct competitors implement CPQ to solve the same problem, right? So you've got a leader, and they're worried about margin protection. And then you might have an upstart who's a direct competitor. they're not worried about margin protection. They're worried about selling faster and getting the deal before that big competitor gets it from them. And so the way it gets implemented is to solve a business objective of the company. And although it helps a lot to have that domain expertise about the steel industry or this industry or that industry, understanding what are you trying to accomplish here? Like, what's your business objective and how do you apply these tools like ERP, like e-commerce, like CPQ to meet that particular company's goals and objectives? Or 5 years later, reconfiguring it to go after a newer strategy or a new direction.
Yes, exactly. That's what my comment would be. Like, I just wanted to say that we never met like two customers, even in the same industry, with the same set of requirements. That's why if I would be evaluating the CPQ experience, I would be evaluating the complexity of the deals that you have been implementing as the vendor, as the partner, you know. And yep. I think this is what showing the real competence, because, like, you know, you wouldn't see two like identical sales processes in similar organizations from the similar industry, or like this similar ways on how they sell. Of course, they like get a lot of processes automated because they have same ERPs in place. But again, like a lot of details, a lot of different, you know, targets and goals they set for themselves and to the system. So that's why I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, and I think along with that, whenever we work with a customer to implement CPQ, we often find they've got workflows or processes or ways they do things, and you start asking why, and you'd be shocked how often people don't know why they do things the way that they do, and so CPQ kind of is a great tool, and it can solve a lot of complexity and make sales teams and companies more effective, but the process of implementing it is often like cleaning out the closet or, you know, cleaning the garage. And you're like, wow, I got this piece of equipment sitting over there. I haven't touched it in 10 years. You know, I got a lawnmower and I ripped out all the grass. I don't need a lawnmower anymore. And so that very process, which you guys guide the customers through, not us, I mean, it's a journey of reevaluating a bunch of assumptions that have been built up over a long period of time. And quite often, some of them can be discarded or adapted to a new situation, and that brings a lot of value, and that has nothing to do with the software. You know, that's just cleaning the closet, which is always a good thing.
Exactly. Okay, like a lot of good insights. So I'm happy like we discussed it, because I think that we shared a lot of interesting things that like our listeners could utilize in their businesses. Yeah. And I think that, like, to conclude, I think that we clearly see that the CPQR like systems are becoming the essential part for the companies who are looking to optimize their sales processes, like improve customer experience and, you know, drive additional growth, because, like, we clearly just discussed several areas that you could improve significantly with the CPQ system. And for sure, we would definitely recommend you to use CPQ systems and to really stay ahead of your competition. Okay, so I think that this brings us to the end of the episode. And I'm sure you found this really insightful for you, for your businesses, for your cases. And thank you, Bill, for joining us today, for sharing this
always
information.
Always fun talking to Sergey.
Yes, it's my pleasure to having you on the show. And thank you for listening. And we look forward to bringing more exciting insights to you in the CPQ and the quote to cash space. Thank you. Bye.